Bizarre.
WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
So a fight between a bus driver and a passenger who missed her stop caused the bus to plunge off a high bridge into China's Yangtze River, and all 15 on board were killed.
This footage is crazy.
Yeah, an 8-second surveillance video released by the police shows the two arguing and grappling with each other in the moments before the bus suddenly veered across oncoming traffic and off the bridge. Buses in China often have surveillance cameras, and a statement from the police said the 48-year-old female passenger had asked the driver to pull over after she missed her stop, and he didn't. She walked up to the driver's seat and started scolding him. The driver turned his head several times, arguing back with her, and of course, that made him get out of control. Went off the bridge. We're looking at the footage right now. And you see the bus from a dash camera of another vehicle go off of the bridge into the
river.
He had grabbed her arm when she attacked him again and then hastily steered to the left, sending the bus out of control. Rescuers lifted the wrecked bus from the river, and two of the bodies weren't found, but everybody is presumed dead. That is just messed up. How about this? An argument over a Tupperware dish ended Sunday night when an Arizona man shot his brother.
God.
Sending him to the hospital in critical condition.
You didn't burp it!
He shot him through the master bedroom door. John Murillo, who is 44 years old, told the police he shot his brother Anthony Murillo because he has a black belt in martial arts and threatened him. The brothers had reportedly fought over text messages because Anthony was mad about his younger brother using his Tupperware dish.
Did you use my Tupperware?
Anthony reportedly
knocked... I'm gonna kill you.
He knocked on his brother's bedroom door to confront him. John allegedly opened fire through the door, striking his brother several times. Police received a call of shots fired around 10 p.m., and officers reportedly found Anthony in the garage of the home. He told officers his brother had left the house in a black vehicle. Police found John driving near the home. He allegedly told officers, "I shot my brother through the door. I just reacted. I wasn't thinking." So he was booked into the county jail on several charges, including assault with a deadly weapon. His bond was set at $20,000. Anthony was taken to the hospital and treated for his injuries. Police said he was in stable but critical condition.
Maybe I should look into Saran Wrap.
Wow. All right, how about this one?
All right.
Police have arrested a man for domestic battery after he reportedly hit a woman with a Hot Pocket.
With a Hot Pocket?
Burning her. You know those things are like lava.
Yes, absolutely.
On the Levi Lucero was booked into jail on a recommended charge of domestic battery. Police officers responded to an apartment at roughly 2 a.m. Sunday for a report of an assault. A woman had called police and said that Lucero had thrown a Hot Pocket at her friend and the victim's face was, quote, blistering and falling off. When officers arrived, the victim was being placed into the back of an ambulance. Burns were evident on the left side of her neck and left ear.
Wow.
What police described as hot pocket shrapnel was all over her neck and shirt. The victim identified Lucero as the assailant, said they had been together for 6 years. And he told police that he and the victim had gotten into an argument, but nothing else happened. When asked about the burns on the victim, he reportedly said, "I did not mean to burn her." He claimed that he had been eating a Hot Pocket when the victim punched him in the nose, and he then threw the Hot Pocket at her. Well, he was arrested because they found out he was lying.
He's a liar, a Hot Pocket thrower and a liar.
The victim later told police that she had put pajamas on and gone into the kitchen to make a sandwich. Lucero, who was sitting on the couch in the living room, asked her to make him a Hot Pocket. She gave him the Hot Pocket, which was very hot, and Lucero asked her to change the television channel. He also asked her for her phone to look at Facebook.
Does this guy ever get up?
Lucero used her phone and was flipping through television channels. The victim said he then became hateful and started to say mean things to her. She told him that he shouldn't treat her that way. He then allegedly threw the phone at her, breaking it. He became angry and then threw his Hot Pocket at her, and then she ended up getting all the burns. As she stood outside, the victim could hear him breaking things and throwing things around the house. She walked back inside, and he basically held her down. She had to punch him to get him off of her. So this dude's a douchebag.
Yeah, but look at his picture. We're looking at it. He's drugged up on something.
He's going to jail. Here we go. A Florida man was injured Tuesday after he broke into the St. Augustine Alligator Farm Zoological Park and jumped into a pond full of crocodiles.
Florida man
Florida man.
I'm going to steal me a crocodile.
John Bruggen, the parks director, said that workers were getting the exhibit ready for opening Tuesday morning when they found evidence of a break-in. Several lamps and signs were broken, and a statue in the middle of the crocodile ponds, which can only be reached by swimming, was toppled. Bergen said that employees found a pair of shorts and Croc brand rubber shoe floating in a pool.
He was wearing Crocs in the Croc pool.
And they thought it might be a prank, but staff members said they called police after finding blood. Bergen said that a lot of blood was found at the top of the zip line platform that sits over the crocodiles. When police got to the park, employees told officials about the blood. An officer reportedly responded, "Oh, I think we've already got the perpetrator in custody. We got somebody who told us they were bitten by an alligator." A man wearing only boxers had been located in a nearby neighborhood. Officers said he had blood on him, and the officer asked if the man had been if he had been messing around at the St. Augustine Alligator Farm, to which the man said, "Oh, no, sir, I wasn't." The man appeared to have several...
That would just be crazy.
He had several bites on his foot. He was arrested off the property, and none of the park's crocodiles were hurt, by the way. Bruggen says that this is the first time in park history that someone has jumped into one of the exhibits.
I mean,
nobody's ever been stupid enough to do it. Yes.
If you ever go like to lion preserves and stuff like that, they always have signs that say trespassers will be eaten.
Yeah.
You don't need a security system.
He added that in surveillance video, the man appeared to be unstable. He said the man had to climb over fencing and barbed wire to get into the pit, but he was determined and he did it and he got bit.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand.
A Michigan man was arrested for felonious domestic assault after police said he flipped his ex-wife's car and then threatened officers with a crossbow. Deputies responded to a call on Saturday morning. Investigators said the ex-husband of the woman who lives at the home had come over and started an argument with her.
Brought my crossbow.
The ex-husband allegedly threatened the woman with a large knife. After several threats, the man threw the knife down before going outside where he had a farm tractor park, and he used that to flip his ex-wife's car upside down.
This guy was just up to no good.
The man, identified as a 60-year-old, left the scene. Deputies went to the suspect's home where they found him hiding, and he armed himself with a crossbow aimed at officers.
Straight, a crossbow, a bulldozer, did you say?
A tractor.
Yeah. And a knife.
Yeah, officers told the man that he would not be taken alive due to the threats. He eventually gave himself up after some time, and he was arrested.
I'm sorry.
He was arrested immediately. Here's one of the stories making the rounds today. A Diamond Medallion Delta passenger. This is a person who's got all these, rewards.
VIP.
Had a dehumanizing experience when forced to either sit in feces or miss his flight.
Oh. Yeah.
Matthew Meehan was on the last flight from Atlanta to Miami when he realized the plane hadn't been cleaned properly. But what he thought was just another stinky flight turned to be much worse. He said, "I sit in my seat and I immediately smelled something. And I thought, not another flight that smells bad." And he wasn't the only one who noticed. And I realized the person sitting next to me had their nose covered. And then I went to take my charger out. I bent down completely to charge my phone and realized it's not just a smell. It's actual feces.
My God.
And it's all over the back of my legs.
No.
It's all over the floor.
Dear God.
All over the walls of the plane.
Right.
Feces, doo-doo, feces all over the
floor. Oh, my God. Ew.
Yeah. Feces all over my Delta flight.
Yeah, and it was all over. He said it was all over the floor, all over the wall of the plane.
Oh,
and he said, and I sat in it. He and his seatmate went to the front of the plane.
Feces thrown all over the walls.
He went to the
front
of the plane to notify the flight crew.
On my flight.
As if the excrement weren't shocking enough, what was even more surprising was the response he got. He said, the flight crew said, "Are you kidding me? We turned that in. I can't believe they didn't clean it. They knew it was there."
So what do you get if you skip up to the platinum package?
Oh, apparently...
He can be in piss, too.
Meehan knows for a fact that Delta planes are required to have a biohazard kit on board for situations like this.
Dear God.
He said, the Delta rep that I spoke with after the fact told me the protocols to have a biohazard kit. The fact they didn't either take it down or offer me something for me to clean it myself properly was absent completely from the plane, and they broke protocol either way. Instead of calling the gate and asking for sanitizing products, Meehan alleges the flight attendant gave him two paper towels and a bottle of gin to clean himself.
What?
In the lavatory. He said she wanted me to clean myself with regular alcohol, drinking alcohol. At this point, Meehan wasn't sure if the diarrhea and where it had come from. Was it dog or human? He just wanted to get it off of him.
Here's a bottle of whiskey and a piece of wood. Go clean it.
Originally, the flight crew said that it was a German Shepherd. And then the gate agent told him in his paperwork that it was an older man who got sick upon landing.
It was actually a Bull Mastiff.
And now Delta Corporate is saying that it was a Golden Retriever puppy.
It just keeps getting worse.
He said to me,
actually, it was a lion.
He said to me, it doesn't matter. It's feces. It carries disease any way you look at it. So Meehan took the meager cleaning materials to the bathroom, hoping that when he came out, his seat would be cleaned.
Was it a small airport airplane bottle size?
Probably.
Yeah.
He said, a full bottle. It wasn't a full fifth of gin. He said, it got all over my bare ankles. They didn't even give me gloves. I had to take it off my pants. I had to take off my pants because it was on the back of my pants.
That's so revolting.
He said, feces at this point.
Everywhere.
It's transferring to my hands with no kind of sanitizing
God
solution
almighty.
To be able to clean anything with. And the only thing is that one tiny bottle of gin.
Holy.
When he exited the bathroom, to his surprise, they were still boarding the plane as if there weren't excrement coating parts of the plane. This is a long story, by the way.
No, but it's fascinating, and I'm curious to see how the airline handles this.
So the Delta rep also told Meehan that Delta broke protocol in continuing the boarding process once the biohazard was identified and reported by him. When asked by the flight crew for an update, he alleges they said, if they didn't clean it, it's not our responsibility. Someone from the gate needs to take care of that. We're in the middle of an active boarding. We're busy. If you want, you can get off the plane and talk to somebody.
Okay, what?
So he did. He went and he spoke to the gate agent manager, who Meehan described as confrontational when he was trying to remain calm and not get kicked off the plane. He said, I tell her what happened, and she said, if the cleaning crew didn't do their job, it's not my problem. What do you want me to do about it?
Oh, man.
I would punch them in the face and then not phone
freaked
anywhere.
The F out, Kathy.
He said,
did I mention there were doo-doo and feces everywhere?
He said, can we get that cleaned up so I can sit down? And she says, sir, it's almost time for the plane to leave. You can sit in your seat or you can be left behind.
Is this true?
I wouldn't doubt it, man.
Yeah.
Delta has not been training their employees very well the past couple of years.
What the hell?
Meehan and the manager realized that he wasn't the only passenger upset about this. At that point, he said four or five other passengers had gotten up and out of their seats as well, standing at the flight attendant area in front of protest and wouldn't sit until it was cleaned. To avoid causing a commotion, the manager had someone clean the area with paper towels.
Oh, paper towels. Good.
He said, to my knowledge, they didn't use any kind of sanitizing solution, and I was supposed to be okay with that because she, quote unquote, cleaned it.
You know how the smell lingers. You have to have a real good, solid cleanser to get rid of that, especially if you're going to be on a flight sitting at ground zero.
Yeah. By the way, the CDC recommends remove any visible contamination and clean the disinfected area with products approved by your company. After the CDC instructs staff to notify cleaning crew of areas contaminated with diarrhea, vomit, blood, or other bodily fluids.
Yeah, I second that.
Yeah.
So what did the airline do?
I don't know.
Because I thought I saw a story floating around early this morning, Preston, that they've reached out and offered him.
Oh.
Yeah.
Look, Kathy, that's poop all over his shoe. We have a picture of it.
They offered him two bottles of gin.
I would have died.
I mean, the PR nightmare from this will have a ripple effect.
Big time. All right, one last story. We need a
palate. That was a good story.
Palate cleanser.
Nothing with doo-doo and feces.
There's no doo-doo and feces. The University of Wisconsin La Crosse quietly paid a pornographic movie star to deliver a lecture to students. The university paid Nina Hartley.
Nina Hartley, who's a legendary porn star from the 70s.
She still works today.
Yes.
They paid her $5,000 out of student fees to speak to students about adult entertainment and taking ownership of their sexuality. On November 1st, about 70 students attended the 90-minute talk. She told students it's acceptable to enjoy pornography, acceptable to not enjoy it, and acceptable to be confused about it. Her appearance
was promoted
only through signs on campus. Chancellor Joe Gao says university officials were concerned since Hartley was speaking about a contentious topic that people wouldn't come and the appearance would be sensationalized. He invited her to campus, and he says the world would be a better place if people were more open about sex. So that was cool. That they hired her.
In fact, you can stay at my house, Miss Hartley. We have an extra room.
My wife's gone.
Yeah, my wife is out of town. I don't think she'll mind.
Thanks for listening to Preston and Steve's Bizarre File podcast. Go to PrestonandSteve.com, click on demand for full show podcasts, and to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.